This is a session from the Renew Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church in June of 2014.
Genesis chapter 15, and if a couple of you come up to me and give me a case for why you like pun humor so much, maybe I'll change my mind. But for right now, puns are just not the way to go. Genesis 15, and there's so much here, you guys. One of the things that I'd like you to do is go back and read Genesis 15, but I want you to read it through the context of what we're going to talk about today. And I don't know why they put so many blanks in your notes. They basically took my outline and randomly selected statements. So some of the statements that are in there are just, you know, kind of what the secretary thought was good, not necessarily what I marked to put in there, which is always a blessing how they like to take their liberty that way. But I do want to give you the three main points are in there, and they have marked those, so I was glad they didn't mess that up. But I'd rather turn this session title, instead of following God's unique plan, I want you to put it in a question for yourself right now. Am I following God's unique plan for my life? And that is the premise of this session. But I think that as a young man, Abraham, that we'll see in this passage, had to ask himself that question. Am I right now? I'm not talking about future. This is not a future lesson. This is for right now, okay? Am I following God's unique plan for my life? Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and God, he counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Abraham was asking God to give him a clue. Lord, give me some idea on if I'm going the right way, if I'm doing the right thing. Is this your plan for me? I've come out of the Ur of the Chaldees, but am I where I'm supposed to be right now? Am I following God's plan for my life right now? I think that the verse number 6 tells us that he was believing God, but in verse number 8, he's still questioning God. And it's okay to ask yourself the question from time to time, how am I doing with God? How am I doing with my relationship with God? But more than that, how am I doing following God's plan for my life? And, I believe he was saying, I'm believing, I'm just not seeing. I'm not seeing where you're going with this. Give me a clue. Verse number 8, when he said, how shall I inherit it? What's the end goal here, God? And God said to Abraham, get out of the Ur of the Chaldees. You know, Abraham, where are you from? Ur. Where? Ur. That was where he was from. And get to who knows where. You'll have a family who knows when. You'll leave a legacy who knows how. Just follow my plan. What was his plan? And basically God's plan was this. Go until you get a no. Go till you get a no and just keep following my plan. Until I tell you to stop, until I tell you something different, you just keep going and making decisions based on the information you have right now. And so I want to look at three statements about the will of God. That'll speak to three areas of your life. And I always say this, but you've got to make this personal, because if this is something that you just listen to and say, that was good, it wasn't good. Because if there's no change that's produced in the inner man, then no good was actually done. It actually was a waste of your time. And so I really want you to really make this personal in your life. And here's the first principle, okay? Here's the first statement. God's plan is his heart, not our hopes. It's his heart, not our hopes. I want you to look in verse number 1. And by the way, who needs an outline or a pen? Does anyone need an outline or a pen? I think we got everyone. Okay, right down front. Verse number one says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham knew that his whole plan that he was following rotated around the person, and that person was God. He was following God, and following God's plan means following what God wants. Abraham, in verse number 8, was worried because of what he wanted. And many times, we worry because of what we want. And all throughout the Scripture, it talks about desiring and the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. And if we delight ourselves, he'll give us the desire of our heart. And the Lord is all my desire. As the psalmist said, and he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. So we talk about this desire and how we're to want God and to have our whole life's plan wrapped up in God's heart for our lives, not in what we hope for our lives. So we understand that. But just like you, Abraham had hopes, but God wanted him to have his heart. And there are a lot of things that you can hope will happen in your life. You can hope that you have a great career. You can hope you get married. You can hope you get through high school. You can hope you get through ninth grade. You know, you can hope all these things happen. You can hope something bad doesn't happen to your parents. You can hope all these things. But instead of worrying about all that you have a hope for, why don't you start worrying about what God has a heart for in your life right now? And so make what God wants what you want most. And verse number 2, Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? God, what do you want for me? What is your heart for me to do right now? Are you seeking the heart of God? Do you know what God wants? And too often we are too consumed with the gifts that God can give rather than the God who gives the gifts. And we start praying for things, and we start wanting things, and we start hoping for things, and hoping for good things to happen. And when good things are happening, you say, God is good. Instead of worrying about, am I good with God? Am I focused on the God, the giver of the gifts? And so look at verse number 2. He says, what will thou give me? And then verse number 2, he says, seeing I go childless. God, I have a problem. I mean, I don't have a man child. Lord, everyone has an iPhone, and I don't. Everyone has. This is a big deal in my culture. If I don't have a son, I'm a loser. I mean, if I don't have my license when I'm 16, I might as well just pack it up and move to Canada. I mean, I'm telling you, you can start getting all of your hopes in what everyone has around you instead of understanding God's heart for you is where you're at right now. You realize that God knew you would be in your home right now and that your parents would be your parents before the world began. And God's heart for you is to follow His unique plan for your life. Instead of the plan that everyone else is dictating in our culture. And many of us need to say no to I hope and start saying yes to God's heart. See, when our hopes eclipse God's heart, our problems become our priority. And in verse number 3, we're just going verse by verse here. Verse number 3, Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is not mine heir. God, the only person in my house that I can even remotely treat like a son is not even my son. God, what are you doing to me? Why are you holding back? You're supposed to be a good God. And yet, I'm the only one going through this trial. I'm the only one that is lacking. Why? I'm the only one in my school that has this issue. I'm the only one that's being made fun of. I'm the only one that has this problem. And you can start really rationalizing yourself into thinking that your hopes are more important than God's heart. And God's heart is what your circumstances are right now. And God's heart is for you to grow through those things. And so may God's heart in seeking His face be our heart and our main focus. And may we seek His face before we seek His hand. So you want what God has to provide for you. Everyone wants God's provision. But are you living in God's presence? Are you seeking His face or are you seeking His hand? Does anyone know who this guy is? If you're a golfer that studies golf, Tom Pernice is his name, or Pernice. I don't know how you pronounce it. But I've never met him. I've met some professional golfers, but he went on a really, really hot streak, and I don't even know if he's good anymore, but he went on a hot streak in the early 2000s, and in 2001, he actually won his first major event, and it was a big deal. When you win one of these major events, there's thousands of golfers out there, and to win a PGA event is a big deal, and the cameras were there, and the people were applauding right off the 18th green, and the announcer that I heard this story from said that he was watching Tom as he received the trophy, and his family came out to greet him. But he didn't hug his wife. He didn't do anything other than he went to his daughter his youngest daughter was holding hands with his oldest daughter. And his oldest daughter brought his youngest daughter over, and his youngest daughter, being young, was in his arms, and she was feeling his face. And the announcers, the NBC announcers, were kind of silent for that moment because they didn't actually understand what was happening. Why would this be happening? Why is this girl putting her hands all over her dad's face? And then they realized that the girl was blind. And at that moment, the only thing that mattered was to try some way to feel the expression of happiness on her dad's face. And until the only thing that matters, not the trophy, not the clapping, not the prize money, not anything other than, am I making Jesus happy? How much time do you spend feeling the face of God? How much time do you spend in the Word of God, finding the heart of God for what you would want to do right now? You have got to be focused on His heart, not on your hopes. Number two, God's plan is discerned, not discovered. Is discerned, not discovered. I work with all the college kids here, and I talk to a lot of them about, the will of God for their life and where they're going to go, and they're just like, they're just consumed with knowing, who's she going to be? Is she going to be awesome? You know, is he going to be strong? Am I going to work in a church that's amazing? You know, how's it all going to unfold? And they're so focused on discovery that they miss the discerning wisdom that God has placed in their lives. And so they're so focused on finding that they stop following. And so in this passage, we talked about his hopes, and that's what does God want. But now we're specifically talking about discerning God's plan, and that the first part was His desire for us. But then this is in our surrender to Him, and this is how do I know what He wants? It's great for me to stand up here and say you got to want what God wants, and desire, and I love that, and I'm passionate about that. But how do we know what God wants? And we find what God wants through the surrender of our ways. And I want you to look at this. Because, and in your notes, the first couple two things that they just randomly made blanks for, and that first is, you discover something that is hidden. You discover something that is hidden. And I truly believe that it is not a biblical principle that God will hide his plan from you. You guys ever heard of Bean Boozled? Where the beans, the jelly beans, that you know, it may be peanut butter, but it may be dirt, or you know, or it may be, you know, lemon, or it may be, you know, rotten tomato or something. And there's these jelly beans that you open them up and you can't tell, and then you eat them and it's like, oh, you know, you're like, you know, trying to get it out of your mouth so fast because it tastes so bad. And then you eat one and it's good. But God's not up in heaven trying to Bean Boozle you. He's not trying to say, you know, well, be careful of your decisions, you know, and you should be. But he's not trying to say, oh, I wonder how they're going to pick. Oh, you picked the wrong thing. Down you go. Yeah, in a ball of flames. That is not our God. Our God has given you everything you need to follow his plan. And so God won't hide from you what he made you to do. God will not hide from you what he made you to do. And the simple thing is, it's so simple, but he's given you his word to guide your way. He's given you parents. He's given you a pastor. He's given you all these things to know his plan. Here's the problem. We don't want that to be a part of the discernment process. Our pride doesn't want that to be a part of the equation. And so we try to figure it out on our own. And when we try to just find it on our own, we miss the tools of discernment that God's trying to give us in our lives. And so it's really not about, it's more about being discerning than it is discovering. And when you're just discerning what God wants you to do right now, the pathway to discovery is already taken place. You've already discovered what God wants you to do. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. And so when you're just doing what God wants you to do right now, God takes care of what you need to be doing in the future. And there's so many verses on this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, when we acknowledge God, he directs our way. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Genesis 24. And so the next blank is God is your guide. And you have to understand that God has put things in your life. And God will only speak through these channels. He will speak through his word. He will speak through his spirit. And he'll speak through authority in your life. And those are the areas of ways that he speaks to you. And those circumstances may change. Those authorities may change. But God will always put good people in your life for counsel. You'll always have his word and you'll always have his spirit. And those things can guide you and as he speaks to you. And so verse number 7 says, and he said, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord God, and I am the one that brought thee out of the land of the Chaldees, and I am the one that's going to continue to guide you. God is your guide. The question is, how does God open your eyes? Or does God open your eyes? Do you allow God to open your eyes? Do you allow God to speak to you? If it really is about discerning, are you willing to be discerning? Are you willing to step forward and surrender your life to his plan? The problem is you will be totally amazed with what God will do with you when he gets all of you. You will be totally amazed what God will do with you when he gets all of you. And so when he gets all of your desires, all of your plans, all of your thoughts, all of who you are when no one is looking, when God gets all of who you are, when you surrender, then you will have a clarity, a biblical clarity, and your path will only be as clear as you can see. So you will have that clarity. And when you believe in verse 6, and when you ask and you say, God, lead me, give me wisdom, guide me. And when you surrender, then God can give you the answer. And so it's about his heart, not our hopes. It's about discerning, not necessarily even discovering. And then finally, it's about action, not apathy. Now, this seems like the most simple one, but this is where we go wrong. Here's why. Because God's plan initiates action, and it's based on our faith. A lot of times, our generation, we don't understand faith. We don't understand that word. What does that mean? And so we know that, you know, we need to do what God wants. Now we know how to know what God wants, right? By surrendering. But how do I do? So it's great to want to do God's will. It's great to know God's will or God's plan. But how do I do that? Okay? Very practical. And let me just give you a couple things. It is first learned, then confirmed by forward living. Now, what does that mean? First learned, then confirmed by forward living. Many times, our biblical understanding goes far beyond our biblical action. You guys know the right thing to do. Now it's time to do the right thing. And the problem is not finding. The problem is in following what God wants. And so lastly, discerning God's will is nothing if we are not doing God's will right now. What does God want? What does God want you to do right now? No delays, no distractions, no disobedience. And if you want to write down something that really helped me when I was in high school, I heard this: the right time to do the right thing is right now. The right time to do the right thing is right now. You've got to do it right now. You can't hold back. I'll tell you a 30-second story and then I'll be done. I grew up in a pastor's home. Every Saturday, went with my family out witnessing. And to be honest with you, there were weeks that I didn't want to do it. But one particular week, I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know what we were doing. However, we went to this rally that was downtown. We'd been to political rallies. I grew up in Iowa, so we'd been to political rallies all over. And the rally that we went to was no different than any other, except for I felt like the security was a little better. And we started passing out tracts, inviting people to our church. And long story short, I'm standing in this crowd, and some people start making kind of a commotion. And right about 3 or 4 yards from me walks Bill Clinton, President of the United States. And so, I mean, I was young. I think I was 10 or 11. I can't remember how old I was, but I mean, I was young. And I mean, here I am. I'm out passing tracks, you know, and I'm just like, you know, and I wasn't thinking clearly. I wasn't like, it's a president. Maybe I should like get his autograph or say hi to him. And you know, I was kind of nervous and kind of geeky. And so, you know what I did? I just gave him a track. I did. And my dad's here at the conference. You can ask him. So I was like, President Clinton, here's a track. I'll come visit sometime. And you know, he stopped and he said, you know, thanks, young man. Appreciate that, or however he talks, you know. And I remember thinking, man, I just met the president. I gave him a track to my dad's church. And you know what he did? He put the tract in his pocket and he said, thank you. I'm going to read that a little later. You know, I didn't witness to him. I have no clue if he read the tract. Probably threw it away. He definitely didn't come visit our church. But you know, the Lord has given me so many experiences just by doing the right thing at the right time. And I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of things that you don't understand. You don't need to. But if you will be all about action and not apathy, if you'll just say, you know, I know the right thing to do right now is obey my parents. I know the right thing to do right now is to have a good attitude. If you'll do the right thing right now, God will lead you to the right place and to the right person.